£1 million.
Is this a wind-up? It has to be a wind-up.
Apart from the birth of my children, this is the best phone call I've ever received in my life.
This is what it sounds like when people win big with the National Lottery. Will you be next? The National Lottery. Your numbers make amazing happen. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Expedia members get a discount now and earn points towards their next trip too. So all that paddling, frolicking, meandering and sunning gives you points for more travelling. Use the Expedia app and get a discount plus points on travel. Rewards terms apply. See site for details. Discounts on select hotels and trips. Points awarded on qualifying trips.
You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. This is Tim. It's our biggest one yet. Just when I think you reach a certain level in your podcasting career, we got, recently we had Ryan McDonough. We had Radko Gudas, just good defensemen. You know what I mean? Good defensemen. We had Mo Sider on. Good, really good defensemen. And then you get this stinking guy. He comes in. Ooh, look at me. I'm not going to be pushed around. Norris, Cups, Conn Smythe, Beard, thinks he's tall, thinks he's handsome. Victor Effin Hedman is on the show, everybody. Victor, thank you for joining us. And you brought a guest.
I sure did. Yeah, my good friend and agent.
Thank you guys for joining us. I really wanted to get you on, Victor. And then I really wanted to get your friend and agent on, Peter, because you guys got something pretty interesting going on. And we'll get to all the other stuff in a little bit, but I want to touch on this because I'm kind of a techno geek. I like to know what's going on. I like to keep up with, what's happening with all my kids. I have, I beat like a dead horse. I have 7 now, and I want to be up with what the kids are doing. And you're up with it. You guys know what the next thing is. And you got this thing now called the Sin Bin Club. Now, tell me what this is all about, please, because I want to be in the Sin Bin Club if I'm allowed to.
Well, Sin Bin, we know you like to spend a lot of time in the Sin Bin, so that's kind of why it's the next thing, it feels like. And obviously, with everything going on with NFTs and, the metaverse and everything, we feel like this is the next step to go. And obviously... Peter's more educated than I am on the specifics, but it's just a great way to connect with fans from all over the world.
Peter, what do you think?
I think, what Victor is saying, it's the next thing. And within our agency, we've been asking players how much they understand about it, if they're interested in it, what they know about it. And everybody has an interest per se, but it's complicated and you may not want to spend the money when you don't know what you're getting into. So the agency with a couple of really smart guys set up the Sin Bin Club, which is from the agency standpoint, an exclusive NFT powered community for hockey fans. And that is what we want it to be. So we're bringing players on board, and we will within a few weeks hopefully open up for hockey fans to mint, as they say in this industry, so they can sign up for the Sin Bin Club and be part of this hockey related community in the Web3 world, the metaverse, it's the next thing. A lot of interest is in it today, but a lot of people don't have that type of money. We're doing it accessible for everyone.
So, you mentioned the fans. Like, what's in it for them? Why should they get to get involved? How will they interact with the players? What will the fan experience be like in this metaverse stuff?
So, I would say For the fans, it's a way where you can interact in the sandbox world. We've already bought a piece of land in the sandbox, and we will have both AMAs and in real life experiences, events, happenings, meet and greets. It's a way. It's the next way. Next way, I would say it's another way or an added way to actually interact players and fans or fans together as well and from different clubs or whatever Sinbin club within the Sinbin club, we will have teams that will, have the NFT. So Victor will have the Tampa NFTs. Another player has the Columbus NFT, and then, we're building groups within the Sinbin, and they will be able to interact with each other or with the players. But also, in my world, I think once you're in there, this is the educational phase of it. You will discover other things because you get, comfortable with your environment. Then you will probably explore new things through our Sinbin club into another phase or another club or whatever it is in sandbox. It's going to be, your hangout place in the future. It's weird maybe to think like that, but it is actually going to be that. You're going to be able to play mini hockey in our own hockey arena in Sinbin, like in the sandbox.
Yeah, the diehard hockey fans can create a profile and interact in the metaverse with players like Vic and some of the other guys that you represent.
Yeah.
Hang out there.
Yeah. And at this point, there's only Alterna Management, or that's my name, the name of the agency I manage. That is only players from that agency that will open up the Sinbin Club. So it's exclusive for the players we represent.
So where can people go to learn more about this? Like where can they get involved?
Sinbin.io is our website.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll post a link for all our listeners. Go check it out. Check it out. I'm going to try to find a way to get in that sandbox. You might have to represent me, Peter, just so I can be a part of the player's experience, because it sounds terrific. I used to love playing in the sandbox as a kid. I can only imagine how much better it is when you just don't get sand. It's going to be fantastic. It's going
to
be great.
I'm happy to get you an NFT for sure.
That would be great. I don't have one yet. It's funny, though. I do get an email, I want to say every 2 months, from somebody saying, you got to do this. This one sounds legit. You got Victor Hedman behind you. You got some other high-end players behind you. Are you going to get Isaac Lundstrom?
You going to get what?
Isaac Lundstrom. Is he going to be involved?
Yeah, he will. Is that your favorite player?
You know what's funny, Peter? He might be. Because listeners of this show know, I love myself some Isaac Lundstrom. I talk about him all the time. And I'm not blowing smoke because he's your player. We were looking at your roster. I was like, holy cow, he's got Isaac. And so he's a good player. He just got to do it. He doesn't get his due. I think he's a good second, third line centerman. I don't want to talk about him. We got Victor Hedman on the show. Anything else you want to talk about Sinbin? Anything on your chest you want to get off before we start transitioning to more hockey related topics?
I think it's just funny that, you look back 10 years that we're talking about this, something, a metaverse and stuff like that. But, I think it's a cool way, like Peter said, to interact with fans who maybe not live in Tampa or doesn't see us, on the road. Maybe they live in, whoever knows. So yeah. It's a great way to get interaction between players and fans. And I think it would help the game as well. Not just, for us, but I think for the game itself, hopefully create more fans and, get our fan base even wider.
Well, to grow the game, that's a huge problem lately with the NHL is growing the game. You see all these other sporting, just NBA, NFL, NBA, they're pushing it. MLB, they're doing neat things, like exciting things. And the NHL seems to be always one, two, three steps behind. So I think you guys are onto something. I really do. Reach out to some fans. This could be a good start.
I want to add to Victor's comment about that. We hope that this will grow hockey as well, so fans from everywhere will meet in the sandbox, and maybe they kind of, you know, what's this? This sounds good. This looks good. And maybe we grow the fan base everywhere, like Victor is saying. And why not? Smartphones weren't around either. And then we started to use them a little bit. And now look where we're going. It's the next thing. And we hope we're going to open this up before puck drop for the season.
Now, question. Sandbox, hockey rink. Why sandbox? You think sandbox, maybe baseball or beach volleyball? Why sandbox?
I think that you need to think differently about the sandbox where you grow up and where you
okay.
all your friends in the neighborhood. This is a platform, a leading blockchain-based metaverse. That's what it is. And big brands, like the biggest in the world, are in there buying land lots, and they're doing, you know, live things there. They build out their spaces. And even on the MTV Video Music Awards this year, that was actually performed in the metaverse. How crazy it sounds, that's what they do. And that's where we're going. It's the new platform to be on and interact with people. But, you know, whatever level of entertainment you're in.
Yeah, check it out, everybody. Tim, I'm excited for it. And I don't get excited for a lot of things. You know that. I'm a very low-key guy. But all right. Sinbin, preparing for this interview. Obviously, we want to talk about fighting. Something crossed my YouTube search of you, Victor. I asked you to fight numerous times. You probably don't remember. You fought, you had 6 fights in the NHL. One of them was versus the Buffalo Sabres versus Steve Ott when I was playing for the Buffalo Sabres. Why him and not me? Because it would have been epic.
I know. I think I was going after you, and Steve kind of came in the middle, so I had to grab him instead. But I was going after you the whole game, I remember. But you kept turning me down. I think you were playing... You know, I don't know, but do you score in that game?
I might have. I can't remember. I only had 5 in my career, so.
Yeah, I think you're looking for a second one, so you didn't really want to fight. So I had to settle with Stevie. So, you know, I went after the smaller guy, which was a smart move, but he was strong, very strong.
No, he wasn't. Stop.
Yeah, he was.
You're such a good guy. So why? And here's an honest question: you come into the league. You young kid, obviously. I think, how many years have you played? 13, 14 years?
Yeah, 13.
Did that cross your mind to fight? Because you see these other big guys that come into the league. Chara, before he became Chara, fought quite a bit. Every tall, young hockey player seems to be thrust into that role. It's like, you're tall, you're big, people challenge you. You had to have gotten challenged. We had Mo Sider on last year before he stepped into the league. He's like, I'm just not fighting. And he plays the role of like a prick defenseman, like Pronger used to. Did it ever cross your mind to say, you know what, I'm just going to start fighting? Because you're strong.
Yeah, no, it really didn't cross my mind, to be honest. You're looking to get into a fight, obviously, when you're young and not smart enough. But I think my first ever fight was against Mike Fish, and that was good night. And that was the end of my season. So, you know, after that, I kind of picked and... You know, like you said, 6 fights is not a lot throughout 13 years, but it's not something I look for. You know, I'm out there trying to play my game. And, you know, if the opportunity presents itself, you know, it's going to happen. But, you know, it's gotten less and less, obviously, in the last few years. But for me, it's, you know, something you do for your teammates or something like that. Like, stuff like that, but I'm not looking to fight.
You don't like doing it. You don't like doing it.
I'm not a good fighter. I'm not a good fighter to start with. So, you know, I don't do it very well. So, you know, it'll be, I think it was a wake up call against Fisher, you know, getting a concussion and missing, you know, the end of the season. So,
I didn't see the fight. How did you get a concussion? Did he catch you with one?
He did catch me with at least one.
Wow,
Mike! I was really looking for that one, so he didn't want to fight me, but I kept asking him to go, and then I didn't realize how tough he was and how strong he was. So that was good night, Hetty, and see you next season.
That's where you want to have an agent who preps you for those situations.
Someone yeah, who he told me, he told me you have to fight. You have to fight. Yeah. No.
Peter.
No, he would never.
Wolves.
I forced him for, was it 7-5 straight games that he has to pick a fight? And then eventually did that at the end of the season and he got a concussion. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Never fight again. It's an easy no-brainer. Never fight again. Yeah. So we talk about fighting. We talk about it's not part of your game. I interviewed a lot of young players. I talked to young, tall players, and especially I just mentioned Mo Sider. They tell me about their training regimen. They tell me about how do they got to keep up with the game. You came into the game when it wasn't like it is now, maybe. It was maybe a little bit slower, more physical. How do you train? Because you haven't lost any of your beef. You know what I mean? How do you still stay 240 but still quick? Is it just constant plyometrics, cones back and forth? Or are you just like, what is your – I'm interested. What's your program look like?
Well, the program is I work out Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Sundays.
Okay. So
yeah, Wednesday off, which is nice. And then obviously Saturday off. And then usually on Wednesdays is my endurance program, where I do a little longer runs and stuff like that. But it's a lot of power. Like you said, a lot of plyos, a lot of quickness, quick feet, a lot of agility courses. Just like, you know, 6'6", 240. You got to be able to move your feet to this league. And that's pretty much the main focus for every season. Obviously, you work on your core a lot, your upper body strength, your leg strength. But the biggest key for me is my power. And, you know, I got great trainers at home that I've worked with for the past 10 years that always challenged me and made me a better athlete and better hockey player.
Yeah. I guess so. Can you notice a difference from your first few years? Because even looking at your stats, you're pretty good coming in. You're getting 20, 30 points. What changed? Because I know people mature, people get comfortable in the game, and I'm sure, Peter, you see it with your players. You expect a little improvement here and there. It's very rare when you see a guy going from getting 20, 30 points to getting 85 stinking points last year. 12, 13 years into your career. How is that doable in today's age when everybody looks at you and you say, yeah, he should take a step back. He's 6'6", 240. He's 31. When is he going to start, you know, going down, regressing? How do you do it?
Well, like I said, it's all about habits. And I think I found a way that works for me and works for my body and, you know, still feel like I'm improving. You know, strength wise, you know, endurance wise and, you know, quickness, you know, I still feel like I can improve on that. And it feels like I am improving every summer. Obviously, the last 3 years have been short summers, so I haven't had the opportunity to really work out the way I wanted to. But at the same time, you know, you get a lot of more hockey and, you know, that obviously helps too. But I feel like that's kind of been my MO since I was young, was that I was pretty fast for being tall. But then, you know, coming into the league, I was probably 210, 215, and now I've gone into 240, but I don't think that's changed the way I play. I feel, you know, I feel more powerful. That's about it. I don't feel heavy. I don't feel slow on the ice. I feel more powerful and, you know, explosiveness and stuff like that. But, you know, hopefully, you know, there's still more to come.
Can I add to that comment?
Yeah.
So as his agent, you know, and we've been working together for so many years, Victor found a different summer practice or summer workout. And after a few summers with that upper, you know, workout, your physicality took a different shape as well. And you're in such great shape. You were in good shape before, but then you changed that pattern that summer. You remember what I'm talking
about. Yeah, 2013.
And then that was one thing. And after the third summer, like that guy said, you were like, oh, this. So being consistent and having the best people around him. And the second thing that I think is very important, that he has earned his way into the power play. Without the power play, you don't get to deliver the way he has been able to do. And that is, you know, something that Victor worked hard on to be, you know, first couple of years, maybe you put the puck on the blocking forward and stuff like that. You're not as comfortable up on the blue line. And I know Victor's been working really, really hard on getting that puck down low. And, you know, even if it's not a goal, it's a rebound. And eventually you work your way into the power play. And now with this power play they have in Tampa, and he's been a big, huge part of it, you know, success is to come. So it's hard work since day one, and still is. It's nothing comes for free. But the workout ethic, or the concept of the workout, and how hard Victor's been working on his puck movement and accuracy to get the puck down low on the net, I would say is the two biggest, in my mind anyway.
A million pounds.
Is this a wind-up? It has to be a wind-up.
Apart from the birth of my children, this is the best phone call I've ever received in my life.
This is what it sounds like when people win big with the National Lottery. Will you be next? The National Lottery. Your numbers make amazing happen. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Sell your car the motorway way, where dealers compete to give you their best price.
Dealers compete?
Welcome to the Car Dealers Darts Championship. Dealer 5 throws a bid of £11,800. Dealer 23, £12,000. Dealer 40 throws £12,200.
£12,200. No way.
Yes, way. Motorway, the way to sell your car.
T's and C's apply. Visit motorway.co.uk.
A lot of Swedish guys like to have a good time. I played with a few of them along the way. Victor Stahlberg comes to mind, where he just loved to be the guy. You guys know Victor Stahlberg by any chance?
Yeah. I played with him a few times.
Great guy.
Yeah,
consider him a good friend. Are you a beer guy, a vodka guy? You don't drink marijuana, Victor. What's your poison? Wine. What is, when you go out, are you getting a bottle for the table when the sommelier comes over? Are you saying, fellas, be quiet, I'm ordering for the whole table, or you just get a glass for yourself?
No, I order for the whole table.
You order for the whole table? No, yeah. Kidding. So if Cooch or Stammer or someone's like, you know what, I'm going to pick it tonight, you say, no.
No, they always give it to me. Sometimes, you know, if we go for a big dinner, big team dinner, they always give the wine list to me and let me choose. So.
And you get a fruity rosé to the table, couple bottles.
Fruity rosé, yeah. No, I'm big cab guy. Italian, I like Brunellos. Actually, what else do I like? I mean, I like most of it, but if I had the two, it would be a good cab or a Brunello.
Ray Bourque was on the show. He's a big wine guy too. I know you're. He was my idol growing up too. I saw that. But yeah, he's a big wine guy. I'm sure you've talked to him about it many times. You've never talked to Ray Bourque, Victor?
No, I don't think so. I picked his number, but I haven't talked to him.
I'll have to see how funny you can like a guy. He was my guy, Ray Bourque. Our career arcs, Victor, completely went separate directions. I tried to model my game after him. Didn't quite work. But moving on. So you're a big Man United fan. They've been garbage for the last few years.
Yeah.
Not great. New manager this year. Cristiano Ronaldo comes in. What are we doing with him? He's pushing guys out like Sanchez and Rashford, this and that. They won today. I think they're fifth or sixth in their Premier League there. What's going on with Man U? Why can't they figure out? They have all the money in the world to throw at these players, and they're just mediocre. What would you do if you're the manager of Old Trafford? How do you turn the ship around here, Victor? Let's get some cups going to Man U's way. What do we got to do?
I mean, it's tough for me to say. You know, it's
easy.
Such a big club, but they kind of lost their way a little bit after Sir Alex left. You knew that was going to be a big transition period, maybe a little bit longer than people thought. But, you know, it's about consistency, and you can see their ups and downs. You know, you look at the Arsenal game this year, you know, phenomenal game. You look at the Brighton game, not so good. So they had a tough start, but you know, feels like if you give the chance to Eric to kind of turn the ship, I think it's going to be in good hands. You know, Rashford looks great. Anthony looks good coming in from Ajax. You know, Martinez looks great. The new kid, Malasia on the left wing back, looks good. You know, they're a little bit younger now, it feels like, than they were in previous years. So, you know, it's interesting to follow. And, you know, I always be a Man U fan, even though I'm now also a Plymouth Argyle fan or investor and part owner. So I'm following them a little bit more than I do Man U nowadays.
He owns a soccer team, Tim. Unbelievable.
A football team.
Soccer. We're on an American podcast. Victor, you'll call it soccer?
I will call it football.
And you like it.
Yeah.
You mentioned Man U, player turnover, players leaving, younger guys coming up. Obviously, you've talked about this before with Tampa Bay. I was with the Blackhawks when they won their first cup. They got rid of Ladd and Bufflin and all these other players. I was supposed to replace Bufflin. That's what my agent sold the Blackhawks on. Can you believe that? Didn't work out. You've lost all these players. Coleman, Gord, Goody, now McDonough this year. Which one were you the happiest to see go? Were you like, fine? Like, I didn't really jive with that guy. When you were like, oh, yeah, see you later, Tyler Johnson. You know, that's good.
No, that was sad.
I'm happy to see, like, you were.
No, I've been fortunate. Like, it's the group we have here is phenomenal. You know, for us to lose those guys is never easy. Obviously, Colsey and Goody wasn't here as long as the other guys, but they just gelled so well into the group. And I think that's a lot of credit to, you know, obviously the coaching staff, the management, you know, finding the right guys for the right for our team.
And of course, of course.
Obviously, Stammer at the helm, the most humble guy you're ever going to meet. So, you know, he has great leadership from the top down. So, unbelievable teammates that you're sad to see go. But obviously, our work continues. And, looking forward to another great season.
So you didn't mind, because like, oh, I know when like Adam Burrish left, I was like, finally, that guy got under my skin all the time. But there had to be some. No, don't name names, but there was some. There's always one guy on the team.
I don't know.
Now, I know you're still playing, so don't say it now. But yeah. I like Tyler Kennedy. I'm like, TK. Oh, just painful. But okay, moving on. Tim?
Yeah, well, we talked about like idols, and then you ask any of the young star defensemen, especially the big guys, who they model their game after. Like we mentioned, Mo Sider, certainly Owen Power, and they're going to say you. You're up on there on their list. So first question is like, what is that like for you? Are you aware of that? And then who was that player when you were 18, 19, 20 years old that you were kind of trying to model your game after?
Yeah, that's kind of surreal. Makes you feel a little bit old, but at the same time, very humbling that guys look up to you. And, you know, for us, you know, for me, it's just it's a great honor. I want to be a good role model for young players and, you know, even guys that you compete against on every other night. But for me, it was Nick Lidstrom. It was, you know, as easy as that. I was fortunate enough to play against him. And guy never made a mistake, it feels like. Made the game seem, you know, make it look so easy. And I think it's impossible to model your game after him, but you can at least try and, you know, kind of see his patterns, the way he works on the ice, the way he never got hit and stuff like that. So, you know, he was the one guy that was I really looked up to, especially as I got older and, you know, got to play against him. It's an unbelievable experience.
I think he had another idol when he was 17, though.
Me? Who's that? That?
You? Yes, Matthias Timander.
Oh, yeah, my D partner. He used to play in he played in Columbus, Philly, Boston.
Yeah. Islanders.
You were going to say Henrik Talinder. I played with him for a while.
Yeah, I never played with Tally, but I played with Timander for 2 years in Moto before I came over. So he told me to do whatever you want and I'll clean up after you. So he was a phenomenal mentor. Yeah. And a guy I still keep in touch with. He's obviously retired now, but yes, a tremendous human being and, you know, taught me a lot about, you know, the NHL and what to expect over here. So Peter's right. He was definitely my mentor and an idol playing with him.
So obviously you just played in three cups in a row, and I'm sure you've been getting millions of questions over the last couple of years. So we're not going to beat that to death, but I do want to ask about one player in the most recent cup run against Colorado, Cale Makar, just what he's doing on the ice as a fan, like blows our minds, a highlight reel stuff every day. As a defenseman who's been around for a while, like what do you see in him and what's it like kind of matching up against him?
Well, and how pissed off were you going into the finals when he was on all the advertisements everywhere? And it's like, hello, I got two rings on my finger. I got a Norris in my back pocket. What am I, chopped liver now? Because this young kid's all of a sudden skating across the red line into our zone. It's like, come on, you guys. 85. Anyways, that bothered me. I was like, it's better than you guys.
Yeah, he got the same now, so I can't trump him with that anymore.
Oh, you got more cups than he does.
Oh, yeah, that's true, but he's still 23 or 24. So, no, he's a generational talent. He's, I mean, I feel like I got the question actually today, too. I was talking to Joe Smith on The Athletic, and the position has changed so much. Like, you know, defenseman now he's expected to, you know, stay at home and, you know, block shot big hits. Like, you're expected to skate and be, you know, versatile, a two-way defenseman, but TC has taken it to another level. Super skilled, super fast. You know, his edge work is out of this world. So, you know, I don't really – we can't compare the types between me and him. You know, we're completely different the way we play the game. But, you know, it's fun to watch. Obviously, you know, it stinks when they win. But, you know, you got to admire, you know, him at the same time. You admire the talent that he has and – you know, what he's done for that team as well at such a short period of time. You know, he's brought that team from, you know, being close to getting to the finals and brought them all the way over the line. So, you know, a lot of credit goes to Cale and obviously the rest of that team.
I will say this, and I don't like blowing smoke up my guest's ass, but he dominates the game in one specific way. He's very skilled with the puck. He's very fast. You have so many different ways where you could just say, you know what? I'm dominating the game in this way, this way. I'm going to hit. I'm going to block shots. I'm going to shut down your best player. I'm going to rush the puck today. And that's how I'm going to dominate the game. I'm going to get two goals and an assist. It's you talk about generational talent. You see these young defensemen coming up, and it's like, gosh, they're all like 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", fleet-footed. That's you, my man. So don't sell yourself short. Like, I know you're only 31, but you've had such an impact on these younger generations because you've been in the league for so long. All right, we'll wrap it up. I know you're busy. You probably got Jay Leno tonight, and you got lots of stuff going on.
That's Conan tonight.
Conan's tonight on TBS. Yeah. Check him out on Jay Leno tomorrow on NBC. All right, or the Metaverse. We might even be in the sin bin by then, Peter. I don't even know. I don't even know. The world's changing.
Wait till October.
Yeah. Moving so fast. All right. Couple quick hits. Tim, you love doing this. Brought to you by PointsBet. Tim, what are we doing with the quick hits rapid fire here? Don't even think about it, Victor. Peter, you can jump in too if you want to answer some of these questions. Go ahead.
Rapid fire questions. First one, favorite subject in school?
Geography.
That's a first.
That's the first time, yeah. Celebrity crush?
Oh. Anne Hathaway.
Peter?
Jennifer Aniston.
Victor, if a movie was made about your life, who would play you?
Robert Pattinson.
Oh, didn't have to think about it.
No.
Why him?
I see it.
Thank you. That's all you need, John. Who would play you, John?
They're making a movie about me right now. Disney.
Are they?
Yeah. So right now it's between Will Arnett and they're trying to get, who's that guy? Wolverine. Who's Wolverine?
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
That's sick.
So, yeah. But they're not tall. Will Arnett's like 6'4".
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a Disney special. It's going to be terrible. But anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
What's the guy's name in the office and who did Jack Ryan? What's his name?
Oh, John Krasinski. Yeah.
Yeah. He would be good too. But he's too soft. You know what I mean? I always think of him as Jim from The Office. Like, but I guess I'm soft. Is that what you're trying
Victor
to say?
Victor is soft. Didn't you say that he was soft before?
Oh, is this for Victor or for me?
Oh, it's not for me anyway. So
no, I think Chris Hemsworth for Victor. The hair and the...
Oh, thank you. I'll take that too, actually.
Yeah, he's like handsome. Are you kidding me? All right, go ahead, Tim.
Who's the most underrated player in the league?
Alexander Barkov.
Okay. Matthews or McDavid?
No, Peter. Who is it?
Jonas Brodin.
Oh, nice. Which client, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, Matthews or McDavid?
McDavid.
Who was the favorite D partner of your career?
Favorite D partner of my career? Wow. Guy's going to be mad now. Anton Strahlman.
Strahls!
Oh.
I'm in New York. He's a good defenseman.
He's unbelievable. And we played together for almost 4 years, so that's the longest D pair I've had. D partner I've had.
Which forward would you hate to, do you hate getting in front of when you see him teeing up a one-timer? It's like,
A one-timer?
Yeah.
Ovi, probably. Or I mean, I play with Stammer, but I wouldn't want to get in the way for that either. So
just because it's unpredictable, you don't know where it's going?
Exactly.
The guy's just like a loose cannon. All right, go ahead. Away we go.
Last question. What's the best advice you ever got?
Have fun. Don't bring too much pressure on yourself. Just have fun. Enjoy the ride.
Wow.
Where's Did that come from guy? Peter?
No.
Always.
Peter doesn't have year, fun. Look at him.
Have that fun. Was probably, no, I think that was my parents, to be honest.
That's a big one, especially nowadays for the kids. They just get so locked in.
Exactly. Have fun.
You notice that the younger kids, they come in and it's like you have to kind of, because you take guys under your wing. Obviously, you're a vet now. You're a leader on that team. How do you kind of take a guy under your wing? When Sergachev comes in and he's used to Montreal, where it's just like everybody knows how Montreal is, what do you do to kind of get him to bring him up as a player?
No, I think it's just calming them down, you know. Guys put a lot of pressure on themselves, and you know, I've been in that situation myself. And you know, just trust in yourself. Like, make sure that you know, you do whatever you can to play well every night. You know, preparation, you know, rest, stuff like that. But just trust in yourself. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. You don't have to play 82 games in one game. It's one game at a time, and just kind of, you know, settle in. And you know, it's going to be ups and downs. Just got to handle those. And, you know, just believe in yourself. You got all the talent and, you know, hopefully that works.
Now, I hate the Leafs as much as the next guy. How great is it, game seven, just to watch them just lose? And you can just watch all the millions of fans across Canada just be let down again. Is that fun as it looks to me on TV? And you're on the ice. Like, is it great?
I mean, I didn't pay attention to that, but for us to beat them and you know, to move on was huge, obviously. And you know, winning was a game six in Toronto.
Yeah.
Back home and closing it out, you know, it says a lot about our team, I think. And you know, that was a tough nut to crack, though. They were great, but we're very happy, obviously, that we got the better of them.
Where do you get chirped the most? Which rink?
Which rink?
Yeah.
I don't get chirped a lot, I don't think. I don't know. I mean, I don't get booed anywhere. So
no.
I did get booed in Ottawa for a while after World Juniors there, but I don't think I have a place where, you know, I know the fans are going to be on me. But
suspended?
Huh?
Have you been suspended ever?
No.
What?
Try not to lose, Ray.
John.
Yeah.
Yeah, the World Juniors in Ottawa, he was in a fight.
Who'd you fight there?
It wasn't really a fight. I put
wrestling game.
Esposito on the ice. He ran our goalie, I thought, and the fans in Ottawa booed me, and then they kept booing me in my first year in Tampa. But I think I got crushed by Chris Neal too in the first game in Ottawa behind the net. So I think they were happy about that one.
Isn't Phil Esposito the radio guy for Tampa?
Yeah.
I love listening to him, and you never hear him probably because you're playing, because he never talks about the game. And then he'll comment something. Come on, Vic, you got to do better than that. And he'll just go off on it. It's fantastic. It's really nice.
Yeah.
Anything else? Then?
No, thanks for coming on, man.
All right, you guys. I don't want to take up any more of your time. This was great.
Yeah, I'm on daddy duty, so I got to go.
All right, you guys. Have fun in the Sin Bin. Check them out in a couple weeks. Sinbin.io?
Yes.
All right, everybody. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Victor, for coming on. We appreciate it, everybody. Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Delivered by DoorDash.
When you book as an Expedia member, you get a discount now and points towards your next trip too. Because traveling is more than just booking. It's looking, paddling, mooching, strolling, haggling, frolicking, meandering, exploring, learning, and even some relaxing, if you like. Whatever you do, you'll earn points towards that next trip. So you can keep thinking, where next? Use the Expedia app and get a discount plus points on travel. Rewards terms apply. See site for details. Discounts on select hotels and trips. Points awarded on qualifying trips.
£1 million. Is this a wind-up? It has to be a wind-up.
Apart from the birth of my children, this is the best phone call I've ever received in my life.
This is what it sounds like when people win big with the National Lottery. Will you be next? The National Lottery. Your numbers make amazing happen. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.